Turns out the pandemic also attacks the U.S. dollar. I'm David Brancaccio. With just a few hours left of July, the dollar is set for its biggest monthly decline in a decade. The dollar's down about 5% this month, with a euro costing about $1.18 this morning. Michael Hewson is chief market strategist at CMC Markets in London.
I think what's happening here is the fact that U.S. rates are starting to come so low is that the attraction of those rates is being diluted relative to other countries. But there's also the added fact that the U.S. economy doesn't look as if it's in as robust a shape as it was a month ago. If you then tie in political concerns ahead of the November election, then the attractiveness of the dollar has turned quite substantially in favor of assets like gold, euro, sterling, and what have you.
And I know this is just a basic economics lesson, but for those who see a higher U.S. dollar as somehow a, quote, good thing, I mean, a lower dollar does make it easier for U.S. businesses to export abroad, makes their products look cheaper.
It does make their products look cheaper, but there has to be the demand there. And as we've seen from this morning's GDP numbers out of Europe, there has been a significant contraction across Europe in the second quarter. Apart from the big tech companies, I think there's precious little to be cheerful about.
Loads of uncertainty still. And people who thought, well, by late summer, we'll be seeing a broad-based global rebound because, you know, in the wake of coronavirus, it's hard to sketch out that kind of future right now.
And that's not happening. It's not happening here in Europe. We're seeing isolated outbreaks of spikes in cases in countries like Spain. The virus is proving to be much more resilient than people thought it would be 2 months ago, and therefore their expectations are being lowered, and as such, they're having to lower their expectations for profits and revenues as well.
Difficult to process that kind of news, but always good to talk to Michael Hewson at CMC Markets in London. Thank you.
Thank you.
I will say there's also news that consumer spending in June went up 5.6% after a record jump of 8.5% in May. Personal income fell about 1% in June. The Trump administration, along with top Republicans and Democrats in Congress, are planning to meet over this weekend after talks on more coronavirus relief reportedly led nowhere last evening. The $600 a week in federal unemployment compensation goes away today. Meanwhile, an analysis from the Bipartisan Policy Center, a Washington think tank, finds that Black and Latino workers are having their state unemployment claims rejected at disproportionately higher rates, Marketplace's Nova Suffo reports.
The Bipartisan Policy Center was conducting a survey of workers on unemployment insurance when pollsters discovered something odd. By only talking to those on unemployment aid, minorities were being significantly underrepresented in the survey. So they went back and talked to respondents who had told them their aid applications were rejected, and they made a surprising discovery. Ben Gittes is a senior policy analyst at the center.
What we found was when people of color applied for unemployment benefits, they were much less likely to be approved.
The survey found that white workers made up 78% of aid recipients, even though they accounted for only half of all unemployed workers. By contrast, Black and Latino workers made up nearly 40% of the unemployed, but were less than 20% of aid recipients. Why is this happening? Gittes says they're not sure.
But it is noteworthy, particularly right now, because Black and Hispanic individuals are carrying a lot of the burden of job loss.
Gittes says policymakers need to take a look at how eligibility for aid is crafted to make sure more of the unemployed are covered. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Now a story from my longtime friend and colleague, Marketplace's Stephen Beard in the UK. It's about a fruit he calls a banana, which I take to mean a banana. It's the fourth biggest food crop in the world. A biotech startup in the English city of Norwich is leading the fight to save the fruit from a fungus called Tropic Race 4, or Panama disease. Some say save it from extinction. Here's Stephen.
Bathed in an eerie pink light, a rack of test tubes gently rotates. Inside, banana cells immersed in a solution of nutrients.
We spin them around just to make sure that all the cells get access to all of these nutrients.
Gilad Gershon and his team at Tropic Biosciences are scrambling to revolutionize the banana.
We are changing the banana genetics to make it more resistant to Panama disease and to other diseases.
For 20 years, Panama disease, a fungal infection, has been spreading across the tropics. Last year, it surfaced in Latin America, where most of the world's bananas for export are grown, a $13 billion a year industry.
The industry already lives on a very low margin, and any disruption to that could have a catastrophic effect for the industry and the major players in it.
The company is editing out the banana genes that make the fruit vulnerable to the disease. Gene editing, says Dan Beber, a plant expert at Exeter University, is likely to meet less resistance than full-blown genetic modification, which consumers in some countries are wary of.
People may be happier about gene editing because it doesn't introduce new genes.
But genetic engineering isn't the only way to save the banana, he says. One of the problems with the export trade is that it relies on a single strain of the fruit, which makes it more susceptible to fungal infection.
We need to think about the diversity of the plants that we're growing. And there are scientific research groups around the world looking at breeding new types of bananas, as well as the other approaches like gene editing.
With big bucks at stake, Tropic Biosciences won't be the only contestant in the race to save the banana, but it seems to be in the lead since it will hold its first field trials later this year and plans to have its banana seeds that are resistant to Panama disease on the market within 4 years. In Norwich, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Our engineers are Brian Allison and Jay Siebold. Our executive producer, Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Alex Schroeder. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.